of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness.
Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us pray.
Heavenly Father, though we do not deserve your goodness, still you provide for all our needs of body and soul. Grant us your Holy Spirit that we may acknowledge your gifts, give thanks for all your benefits, and serve you in willing obedience through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the fourth Sunday in Apostles' Tide is from the book of the prophet Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who care for my people. You have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for your evil deeds, declares the Lord. Then I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will set shepherds over them who will care for them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed. Neither shall any be missing, declares the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely, and this is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus, the second chapter. Remember, brothers, that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you, who once were far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one, and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing the law of commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near, for through him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
According to St. Mark, the sixth chapter.
Glory be to God.
The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they had found out, they said, "Five, and two fish." Then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. And taking the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the two fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. This is the gospel of the Lord. What do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven.
peace from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
From our Gospel reading, in a desolate place, Jesus taught and fed the crowds, and they all ate and were satisfied. This is our text. Just prior to our gospel reading in Mark chapter 6, a couple of challenging things had happened. Jesus had returned to his hometown of Nazareth and been rejected. His disciples had been sent out on a mission, and then Herod had John the Baptist beheaded. When the apostles returned from their work, from their teaching and their preaching, Jesus said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while." To a desolate place. That strikes me as quite an invitation. When would you ever go to someone and say, "Come with me to a desolate place"? In fact, Mark tells us three times that Jesus and his disciples were in a desolate place. Being there is no accident. It's not like they got lost or wandered down a wrong turn. Jesus is there on purpose. He leads the apostles to that desolate place. He leads them there in order to care for them and to give them rest. Not the kind of rest that you or I might be looking for. It's not an all-inclusive resort. It's not a night out on the town, but a desolate place. Why? Because Jesus often does his greatest work in desolate places. Jesus often does his greatest work in desolate places. And as it turns out, Jesus and the apostles aren't the only people in that desolate place. A great crowd had gotten there first. They saw where Jesus and the apostles were headed in the boat, and so they ran around by foot and beat them there. I would imagine that when the apostles got out of the boat and saw the crowd, they were rather annoyed. Maybe they were looking forward to that desolate place after all, and it's not so desolate. But I'll tell you one thing. It doesn't bother Jesus to see those crowds. When he climbs out of the boat and he sees those people, it's like a punch in the gut for Jesus. Not a bad punch in the gut, but a punch in the gut because he had compassion on them. He is moved with mercy and with love for these people. He looks at these people, the crowd gathered there on the shore, and he knows the desolate place that they're in. Not just the geographical place they're in, but the spiritual place they're in. He sees those people, and he knows that they are desolate souls. They were like sheep without a shepherd. How do you describe what sheep are without a shepherd, except to say that they're food for wolves? That's what they were like. No one was teaching them. No one was feeding them. No one was caring for them. They were lost. They were lonely. And they were spiritually hungry. And there in that desolate place, Jesus does what only Jesus can do. He feeds them. He feeds all of them. Every single soul. We tend to focus on the feeding of the 5,000, the physical food, but there's something else he did first. In fact, it's what took the majority of the day when Jesus was with them in that place. He taught them. He taught them many things. He feeds them with his word. And then Jesus provides food for their hungry bodies as well. First, he cares for them spiritually, and then he cares for them physically, and he does it with only 5 loaves and 2 fish. So when it all ends, their bodies and their souls are fed and nourished. They are filled and they are satisfied. And when it ends, it's interesting because it describes the place where they are seated as being a place of green grass. This desolate place, when the good shepherd is there with them, becomes a green pasture for the sheep. He did it for them, and he does it for you. Do you find yourself in a desolate place, ever? Perhaps right now. Our world is filled with desolate places. Places of isolation, loneliness, emptiness and struggle. And why do you find yourself in this desolate place? Maybe you're there because, like the apostles, Jesus has led you there. Led you there not as a punishment, but to care for you. To take away other things so that you have him as your shepherd. Or maybe it's because, like the crowds, others have let you down. Those sheep without a shepherd. Perhaps you're ready to listen to anyone. Sometimes we find ourselves in desolate places because we've been led there by Jesus, like he led the apostles there, not as punishment, but in order to care for us. Sometimes we find ourselves in desolate places because, like the crowds, others have let us down, and we're ready to listen to anyone who will give us an answer and to do whatever they'll say. We may be desperate for some teaching and for some feeding. And sometimes we find ourselves in a desolate place because we've wandered off, slowly but surely nosing our way to what we thought would be greener pastures and better feeding, only to find ourselves cornered by the devil and his lies. Maybe we find ourselves in a desolate place for each of those reasons. In a way, it doesn't matter how you got there. It doesn't matter so much what the cause is. Desolate places, no matter why we were in them, are difficult places. And if you're like me, sometimes you think that we shouldn't be in a desolate place. Sometimes we think that if Jesus really loved us, he wouldn't let us be there. He wouldn't take us there. He wouldn't let me be in this situation. He wouldn't let that happen to me. Sometimes we think that if we were really his sheep, then we wouldn't have wandered off in the way that we did. These thoughts only make it worse. What could possibly be worse than being in a desolate place? Well, worse than being in a desolate place is being in a desolate place without Jesus. That's where Satan would like to lead us. He would love to drive us to doubt and despair. And if he could, he would rob us of our shepherd. He would even kill the shepherd and eat the sheep. When Satan tells us that we've been brought to a desolate place to be punished, when he says that we've been left there to die, when he claims that we've wandered too far away to be rescued, he's lying. It's not true. Don't listen to the devil. Who is he that he gets to explain to you your situation? Who is he that he gets to tell you what God is doing or is not doing? Who is he that he gets to mark you with your sin in permanent marker and claim you as his? Satan would have you believe that being in a desolate place means that you are lost forever. But do you remember where Jesus went with the apostles? Do you remember where he was when he had compassion on the crowds? Do you remember where he taught and fed and loved them as a shepherd loves his sheep? It was in a desolate place. He hasn't abandoned you. He's still with you. He calls out to you and he says, "I'm here, little lamb, I'm here. Have a seat. Listen to my word. Eat what I give you. Be fed and satisfied. Find rest even in this desolate place. Rest for your soul. Rest for your body." And he cares for us not only with the power that he has as God, but he cares for us with the authority that he has as Savior. No place is more desolate than the place that Jesus went, that is, the cross. And our Lord went to that place willingly. He didn't avoid desolate places. He didn't go to resorts or spas or go out on the town for a night. He went to the most desolate place of all. And he went through all of it, through all the isolation, through all the loneliness, through all the emptiness, through all the struggle. You know, Satan would have us believe that when we look at the cross, there is nothing but suffering and death there. But Jesus turns it on its head. He says, "Yes, when you look at the cross, you will see a great deal of suffering and death. My suffering and my death. But you will also find more as well, because you will find me on the cross, and in me you have life and salvation." So I ask you, Is the cross really a desolate place? Or is it a green pasture? You tell me. For Jesus, it was desolate. It was a God-forsaken place. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, the curse of sin fell on him. He was abandoned by those he loved. He was abandoned by those whom he'd served. He was forsaken by the Father. He was in agony and bitter death. That is what our sin deserves. But for us, the cross is a green pasture. For us, the cross shows us not only the wrath of God, but it shows us even more the love of God. Jesus is hanging on the cross for you. He has taken your place. He has taken your sin, your curse, your guilt, your punishment, and your death. And he has paid every single penny of what we deserved. And why did our Lord do it? Why did he go to that desolate place? Because he saw you and he had compassion on you. He did what he had to do in order to save and rescue you and me. And his cross is what makes our crosses bearable. His desolation is what makes our desolate places endurable. His suffering is what makes our suffering endurable. Jesus Christ is the pasture of forgiveness in a world of sin. He is a pasture of life in a world of death. He is a pasture of truth in a world of lies. When Jesus shows up to the desolate place, he takes the desolation out of it. He makes the desert bloom. He turns the wilderness into paradise. You know, we sometimes use that expression of making lemonade out of lemons. Jesus did it first. It was his idea before it was ours. He was laid in a tomb, and then he rose alive in a garden. Desolation and death have no power over them, over him. No place that he goes to that is dark and lonely will remain that way. Wherever he is, the grass flourishes and a garden blooms and life comes. Because Jesus is your Lord, because he is the good shepherd, because he is the bridegroom of the church, you aren't lost forever. And you will not remain in a desolate place for eternity. Because of what Jesus has done, you are being rescued. Your sin and the scarring that it leaves in your lives and in the lives of others, it isn't permanent. The devil does not have the last word. Jesus tells you the truth about what God has done and is doing and will do. He will shepherd you. He will shepherd you through this life. He will shepherd you through the desolate places. He will shepherd you through death. And yes, at times and for various reasons, we do find ourselves in desolate places. But even better is that Jesus finds us in those same desolate places. Even better is that Jesus finds us in those places and he brings to us his word. He finds us in those places and he feeds us with the bread of life, just as he did for that crowd of shepherdless sheep. In the middle of the desolation in which we live, a desolation of sin and death and Satan that seeks to overwhelm us, in the middle of all of that, Jesus has firmly planted his cross and he does his great work for us. He is our shepherd. He is our green pasture. Though the world may forsake you, though it may leave you or turn against you, he never will. You have his promise. You have a promise that he's attached to his words, that he's put into the water of baptism, that he gives you with the bread and wine of Holy Communion. He is here for you, always here for you. Sometimes he himself leads us to these desolate places so that we, like the apostles, may find rest in his green pasture. Sometimes, like the crowds, we run there because we are hungry. And sometimes, when sin has left us desolated, he sends people to bring the green pasture to us, to tell us of the Savior who died for us. Now, do you remember how it ended, this reading from John chapter 6? It says that when Jesus had blessed the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, when he had given it to them and distributed it to the people, they all ate and were satisfied. And there were 12 baskets left over, one for each of the apostles. Not for each of them to eat, but for each of them to give away. There was more than they needed. They were to continue to spread the gifts that Jesus had given to them, to spread the life that Jesus had given to them, to spread the salvation that Jesus had shared with them, wherever they go, in every time and in every place, that no one would be left without. You see, he feeds you, and he feeds me, and he feeds all of us, and he still has more left over. More to give in this desolate place, more to give in this desolate world, more sheep to be fed. Whether in big churches or in little churches, whether in groups of 50 or 100, all are fed by our Savior, who is the bread of life. Fed first by his word, and then by this meal, that our desolate place would be desolate no more, but it might become a green pasture of life, forgiveness, and love. It is, as we sang in the hymn, the church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. She is his new creation by water and the word. From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought her, and for her life he died. This is the foundation of the church. Jesus Christ is our rock and our shepherd, and his cross is our salvation. And there is no place in this world so desolate, but our Lord comes with his word, comes with his food, strengthens and keeps us, and sees us through to the end. And so today we come and we hear and we receive what he has. We eat and are satisfied, knowing that the day is coming still when Jesus Christ will turn all of the desolation into his paradise, all of the wilderness into his garden, all of this old creation into the new creation. And there we will be satisfied with him forever, and we will rest in green pastures for all eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. And for all people according to their needs. Almighty and most merciful God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks for all your goodness and tender mercies, especially for the gift of your dear Son and for the revelation of your will and grace. Implant your word in us, that with good and honest hearts we may keep it and bring forth the fruits of faith. We humbly implore you to rule and govern your church throughout the world. Bless all those who proclaim your truth, that we may be preserved in the pure doctrine of your saving word,
and that faith in you may be strengthened, love toward others increased, and your kingdom extended. Send forth laborers into your harvest. In particular, we pray that you would prepare Vicar Schneefloke and Patrick Jackson to be pastors in your church, and keep watch over Laura, William, Henry, and Samuel, and Kathy. Sustain also those whom you have sent, that the word of reconciliation may be proclaimed to all people, and the gospel preached in all the world. Grant health and prosperity to all who are in authority, especially to the President and Congress of the United States, the governor and legislature of this Commonwealth, and to all those who make, administer, and judge our laws. Grant them grace to rule according to your good pleasure, for the maintenance of righteousness and the hindrance and punishment of wickedness, that we may lead quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty. According to your good pleasure, turn the hearts of our enemies and adversaries, that they may cease their hostilities and walk with us in meekness and in peace. Be with all who are in times of transition, especially Catherine and Tom, leading them and supporting them with your love as they move. Comfort, O God, with your Holy Spirit, all who are in trouble, want, sickness, anguish of labor, peril of death, or any other adversity, especially Kristen Gregory undergoing surgery, Luann Trigo, Judy Ward, Virginia Fleming, Gail and Jim, Ann Blaze, Jared Blaze, Pat Courtwright, Matt DeBara, Al and Lois Doskasil, Kay Emmerich, Bobby Joe Ewing, Karina Faw, Reverend Kevin Foss, Jackie Gordon, Phyllis Hoffman, and our homebound Karen Hamill, Rick Silvestro, and Andrea Wetmore. Grant courage and steadfastness, especially to those who suffer for your name's sake, that they may receive and accept their afflictions in the confidence that you will acknowledge them as your own. Grant your protection to all mothers with child, especially Jessica Pasco, Celeste Brooks, and Abby LeBaire, and be the comfort and refuge of those who are barren. Although we have deserved your righteous wrath and punishment, yet we ask you, O most merciful Father, not to remember the sins of our youth nor our many transgressions. Out of your unspeakable goodness and mercy, defend us from all harm and danger to body and soul. Preserve us from false doctrine, from war and bloodshed, from plague and pestilence, from all calamity by fire and water, from hail and tempest, from failure of harvest, and from famine, from anguish of heart and despair of your mercy, and from an evil death. In every time of trouble, show yourself a very present help, the Savior of all, especially to those who believe. Cause all needed fruits of the earth to prosper that we may enjoy them in due season. Give success to the Christian training of the young, to all lawful occupations on land, sea, and air, and to all pure arts and useful knowledge, crowning them with your blessing. These and whatsoever other things you would have us ask of you, O God, grant us for the sake of Jesus Christ, your only Son, our Lord and Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. The Lord be with you.
Amen.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy,
be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
With this healing gift, and we pray, Father of mercy, by this holy food, make us strong in faith toward you and in deep love for each other, that through us other beloved sinners may kneel to you and receive with us grace and life in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.